You're listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. This show will give you the tools and information for better health as you age. Now, here's your host, Kendra Vallone.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by my co-host, who is board certified in pulmonary medicine, internal medicine, and my favorite part, personally, is advanced training in anti-aging, Dr. Larry Emder.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Dr. Emder. How's it going?
Hey, great to be on the show.
Great.
Feeling really great.
I mean,
which is a lie.
You say that, but aren't you slightly sleep deprived at the moment?
Yes. I was on call this weekend for my group, covering like two hospitals and a lot of patients.
Jeez.
So we got to bed at 1 o'clock.
At Alvarado
and at Promise Hospital.
Oh, okay.
I earn my living by doing critical care and dealing with some of the sickest patients.
Mm-hmm. Then we see over at Villa Las Palmas at times.
That's if I can't get them, better so they can go home. Absolutely.
Yeah,
we'd love to send them to your facility.
Well, we heal them and then have them.
Yeah, you do a great job. So, but the weekend was, like last night, I got in about 1 a.m. You don't have to play the violin.
Oh, geez.
But I was supposed to be off today to, rest up for the show. And they rolled me out of bed at 6 a.m. because there was a couple unstable patients.
Oh, no.
So I have to act like I'm bright and awake and, with a good night's sleep, which is a lie.
Dr. Emder to the rescue.
So, and I was really concerned that I wasn't going to have anything to talk about, during this segment of the show because I really worked the whole weekend, but, luckily, I got a chance to go shopping.
Oh, gosh. What'd you shop for? Did you go by yourself or did Mrs. Emder go or what are we shopping for?
Well, I had like 40 minutes between hospitals, like driving. And on one of our previous shows, we were talking about, the famous Prada shoes.
Oh, that's right. When you were in Vegas, you were looking for your Prada shoes.
Well, guess what? There's like 3 Prada stores in San Diego, one of them in Fashion Valley.
No kidding.
My wife, Barbara, went down and last week ordered, two sizes of shoes.
So she didn't have to pay for them. She just like got them in stock.
Just get them ready for me to come and slip my foot into this magic shoe.
It's like Cinderella.
So I went down to the Prada shop, beautiful shop in the Fashion Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this shoe that I've been like basically hunting for about 5 years. And
You're worse than a girl.
Well, no, I wasn't in a hurry because I couldn't afford them.
I was going to say, for the other audience members out there that cannot afford Prada shoes like myself.
Yeah, so this is like the second pair. And the one I'm currently wearing, the tips of the toes have worn out, but the shoe just fits so great. I had to get the shoe.
Okay, are you wearing them right now?
I'm not wearing them because... Okay. Usually when I get a shoe this expensive, I don't wear them. They're really too expensive to wear. So I'm going to put them up on my mantle for Christmas. They'll probably be like an ornament on my Christmas tree. And I'm Jewish, so that's kind of really crazy. But
Put them next to the menorah.
That's right. Put them next to the menorah. So probably for a year or two, I'll just walk around the house with them. break them in. So it was a great day of shopping. I actually got 3 things. All under $600. 3 things were not all at Prada shop.
All 3 of them together were under the $600?
Yeah, I was able to come in under the $600 limit. So,
what else did you buy?
I bought a screensaver for my phone.
Oh, did you get a new? On the last episode, we were talking about Mac products because I think now that my computer is stolen, I'm switching. I'm becoming a Mac person.
Right.
That hasn't happened yet. I haven't officially signed up. Did you go to the Mac store?
I went to the Mac store.
Okay.
Okay. And again, in Fashion Valley, all right, as you go into the Mac store, shout out, there's 2 carts where they sell Mac accessories.
Okay.
And they have really neat Mac products, all right?
Mac is like a neat brand.
So I got this screensaver. It was only a mere $30. Mm-hmm. However, it's like you don't even know there's a protector on your screen.
Really?
Let's
see your phone.
And then you're ready for this? It's got like a lifetime guarantee. If it peels off for $5, I can have a new one put on.
Wow. Now, this is so special because you can get like a protector for like $5.
Right. And I've got those. And those things are like so thick that when you want to hit your phone, your phlegm goes numb. But this one is like...
Special.
This is special for a special person.
Okay.
So, but the second thing I got there, under $50, that shows you how expensive the shoes were, was I got in the charger cord. When you want to charge your iPhone.
Yes.
usually the cords are like 6 feet long.
Okay.
All right. So whenever like you're charging and you want to pick it up and listen to, you get a phone call, you break the cord.
Yes.
So yours truly got a 10-foot charging cord for my iPhone.
Who knew?
So
who knew that they would make products that are handy dandy?
So, I mean, I'm going to be in my Prada shoes with my phone plugged in. I'm going to be looking, you know, pretty stylish.
As I have mentioned before, with this show being called Aging Redefined, you really do redefine.
Yeah, so
you are cooler than I am.
Right. Well, you know, when you look old, I find you look better wearing Prada. What can I tell you?
And
we'll throw Gucci out there too.
Being on your Mac and yeah.
So
that'd be cool.
So let's see. Tell me about your weekend.
Well.
Okay. Let's go back to my week.
No, hey, I was kind of fun this weekend. I went to like a 20s. Roaring 20s party, like Gatsby themed in downtown San Diego. So my husband and I just moved here, in April or so? So we're just kind of getting the swing of San Diego. Not that we moved from a million miles away. I mean, I was in Orange County kind of girl.
It's a different world.
It is, actually. It's like a smaller, I don't know even how to describe it, but it is. It's smaller. So we thought, what a great excuse. The event was actually downtown San Diego. Over kind of by Little Italy. So we thought, well, let's get a hotel room for the night and then explore. So we went.
It's a fun place to hang out.
Yeah, we actually went to lunch down in the Gas Lamp. And then I tried that restaurant that's Nicky Rotten's. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, actually.
It was really good. They had great hamburgers and stuff.
Oh, they do a great job.
It was a good bar. Awesome. Yeah, it was a really fun, hip place to go. And then walked around a little bit and I found Horton Plaza. Hello. That place is
That was cool. The first time? Horton Plaza?
I know.
The downtown is a fun place.
It was. It was fun. And then we ended up going to the party. Kendra's Blonde kicked in. And all day, Glenn had been asking me, what time's the party? And I said, it's at 6. So we got to start getting ready because it was 20 themed. So we had to do the hair and wore a tux and everything. And so I said, it's 6 o'clock. So we finally... You know, we pull up to the party at about 6:30. I'm thinking that we're late, and they're still setting up. And he says, I want you to look at this invitation. So I looked at it, and it was 19:30 was the time, but it was in military time, which is 7:30 p.m. So,
so you're there early.
We're obviously there a little bit early. And he just looks at me, poor Glenn. I think he's just used to it by now. So I said, well, hey, there's like a bar around the corner. So that we got to explore Little Italy for an hour. So it actually worked out.
And that's a great story. And we should, you know, for our audience, I mean, they know we're here in San Diego, right?
Yeah.
But we have an international audience. You know, we're on the web.
We are.
People that, you know, our listeners, you know, in Italy, you know, where Prada's made, you know, we're talking here from San Diego, California, talking about your leather products.
You could be sponsored.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There you go. Well,
How about we kick into what this show is really about?
Yeah, right.
Medically based, staying healthy, healthy living, healthy aging. But what's new in medicine?
Okay,
what do you got?
So far it sounds pretty much like a fashion show, but this is also from our local paper, the UT San Diego, in September 3rd, 2013, and this is a piece about healthy aging and how to eat healthy without breaking the bank.
So, oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
So, and what this columnist, Kathleen Becker, points out is that, like we talk about on this show, is that dieting, exercise, all help you with handling emotional stress. So it's very important, you know, what you put into your stomach.
Right.
And the issue is a lot of seniors are on a, you know, limited budget, but you don't have to break the bank to eat healthy.
Okay.
And so what they say is it's very important to get away from processed foods. You know, I'm a child of the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. So when we TV did our dinners?
When we did vegetables, we didn't. Well, my mother didn't do TV dinners, but what she did was, you know, like peas out of a can. You know, or like vegetables were like frozen. Okay,
are those bad?
No, they're good. They're okay, but there's nothing like a fresh vegetable from a farmer's market.
Oh, okay.
Which generally are probably no more expensive. Mm. And you know what they. I never do. I don't shop.
I was going to say.
Maybe it's a little bit more expensive.
Markets aren't necessary.
I shopped. The last time I shopped was in 1960. So you can't, for food, let's put it that way.
Or for your very expensive shoes. You might be out of whack for this article.
Yes.
But.
All right. Well, let's drop that subject. But the point is that, you know, a fresh pee is going to taste better than something that's been in a can for a year, don't
you
think?
I completely agree with that.
So they say, and a lot of times for these stored foods, you know, they put preservatives in there, they put salt in there, mm-hmm. so the food doesn't go bad. Mm-hmm. So what they recommend in this article is you should really think about purchasing locally grown foods, fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
They're going to have, you know, less preservatives. They're going to be healthy. They're actually going to taste better.
Mm-hmm.
A good way to do this is buy the highest quality. And one way to do that is to go to your local farmers markets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important to go to a certified farmers market, mm-hmm. which they have throughout the city. There's, you know, in La Jolla.
We've got a bunch of them here in San Diego. There's one up in North County.
You can go online and check out the certified farmers markets. Why is it important? Because some of these farmers markets, they say it's a farmers market, but they're like shipping in vegetables from like Nebraska. Mm. So you want to get a farmers market and you want to ask about it that has, you know, locally grown produce. And you want to get the highest quality you want to be educated about, you know, which foods are good and which foods are not good.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you want to stay away, when you were talking about the highest quality, you want to stay away from foods that have a lot of pesticides in them.
Right.
Okay? So organic would be a better way to go.
Okay.
Generally speaking.
And I like that.
What they point out here is that there's on the web, if you want to educate yourself, there's a website called EWG.org. And this is the Environmental Work Group people. And they have a list of Dirty Dozen Plus and Clean 15. Basically, these are like foods you want to avoid that have a lot of pesticides on the list.
Do you know what any of those are?
Well, I went to the website, and it's a little bit tricky to work. You know, I had to like register for something, but do a donation. I don't have that information, but I gave you the website, so you know you can.
So if you're feeling frisky,
go ahead. EWG.org. Mm-hmm. You want to eat, you know, fresh vegetables and fruits. You want to use your local farmer's market. If you have trouble getting to these markets, there's actually a local group which will, for $20 an hour, will take elderly people that are shut-ins that don't have transportation to get to these markets.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
So I think we need a break for our show.
We are. And we've got a great show for you today. So you got to stay with us. We're going to be talking about kind of coping with grief over the holidays, but how to stay cheery and chipper. And, well, I guess as cheery as one can be. But the holidays can be kind of a
stressful
time. So anyway, stay with us. We'll be right back.
When Joe was in his last days, I was frightened of not having the right help at the right moment. So I set out to find a hospice I could call at any time, day or night. Only VITAS provided telecare, the 24-hour access we needed.
Mom's illness was overwhelming toward the end, and I wanted a hospice that had everything and everyone we needed. We discovered only VITAS employs more physicians who specialize in hospice care than anyone nationally. That made Mom and us feel better.
When Carol was dying, I promised she could stay at home and had the very best care. I did my research. Only VITAS had the experience to take care of the love of my life.
Call VITAS Innovative Hospice Care toll-free at 877-647-1124 for a free hospice evaluation. That's 877-647-1124. Or visit VITAS.com for more information.
Transition is always difficult, especially after surgery. At Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center, we make sure it's as efficient as possible. As one of the highest rated Medicare facilities in San Diego, we offer a variety of services to meet your needs. From subacute care to general physical therapy, we'll help create a plan to get you back to where you want to be. If your doctor recommends skilled nursing as your next step, come visit us and see how our skilled care has what you need to get back on your feet. For more information, please visit our website, villalaspalmascares.com.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack, but should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder. And we've got a great show today. We're actually, as the holidays are approaching, stressful times are upon us. But there's a lot of other things that go along with the holidays that maybe some of us perhaps that have not lost somebody don't think about. So, Dr. Emder, I want to hand the show over to you. Kick it off.
Okay. Well, it's a great pleasure to introduce Ms. Lydia Lombardi, who is a licensed clinical social worker with the VITAS. Her background is she's locally trained at UCSD, did her undergraduate work.
And nice.
I was on that campus just this weekend. It is absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the Geisel Library, beautiful piece of architecture, I should say. She did her graduate training at USC. I've never really heard of that.
Oh, yeah. Fidon.
University
Fellow of... Fellow Trojan.
Yeah.
She knows what she's talking about. Extremely intelligent
right.
individual.
USC, the University of Spoiled Children.
You know, that's not funny. Oh, who bought the Prada shoes?
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
okay.
Yeah, I went to Penn State, so. She's here to talk to us about healing and holiday grief. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So I guess the first question is, you know, what's your background? How did you get into this, you know, area?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I always knew as a kid I wanted to do something with helping people. And
nice.
Social work was something that was introduced to me. And toward the end of high school, I was a peer advocate, working with peers, helping them during difficult times in their life. And I just found a natural draw to supporting people in times of great challenge in life. And it's something really rewarding when you can be present for someone and fully listen and hear their story and connect with them on a heart level as a human being, understanding that we all go through difficult things. And it's
That's
okay.
great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is it about the holidays that it's such a happy time, but why is it evidently it's hard for some other people? Why is that?
Yeah. The holidays can be such a great time because they're about family, they're about fun things, they're cheery, we decorate, we have lights up, it's usually really exciting, there's presents, there's usually a positive edge around it. We grow up thinking holidays are always a really fun time for most people, but when we've lost a close family member or friend, a lot of those same memories come up,
okay.
and it can be really painful because that person isn't there to enjoy that time of year with us. And so there's a lot of pressure that's placed sometimes by other friends and family.
You mean to be happy when you're not
to be happy, yeah. Be cheery. Get it together. You know, move on. You got to get past it. It's over.
Right. Suck it up.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. it's not quite that easy. And it does take time and it takes a process.
Well, how does a family member, you know, recognize if another family member is having a difficult time this time of year?
Some signs may be people isolate a little more. They're not ready to go out. They're not ready to do social events. Maybe they're not seeking support, and their grief is coming out in ways that may be negative. We talk a lot about, you know, there's no bad way to grief, or, you know, grief has there's no wrong way to do it, but there are some warning signs that we do tell people to look out for.
Like?
If you're unable to function. For example, I had a woman call in my office the other day, and she said her sister, who lost her husband 2 years ago, still is having trouble getting out of bed each morning and can't get her kids to school. Obviously, that's a red flag. That's something we call a sign of complicated grief, where someone isn't able to do basic self-care for themselves, or especially for a minor child. Another red flag is suicidal ideation. Sometimes people say, you know, they dismiss it as, well, you know, maybe I would feel that way too if I lost someone. But if someone's expressing those feelings, we've got to take it really seriously because it's not a normal part of grief, and it is something that people act on sometimes.
Now, some of the things that you're describing sound like depression in general. So if we know somebody with depression, are we supposed to maybe talk to them in the same way, or do you treat that very similar? Or
that's a really good
question. Because sometimes with depression, isn't that something? And I don't want to just say, you know, you give them a prescription, but there's medication for that. But is that even something that you would deal with for grief?
Yeah, sometimes bereavement can turn into, you know, depression can evolve from bereavement if it isn't people don't feel well supported, they don't get the support they need, whether talk therapy whether grief, you know, bereavement support groups. Sometimes medication may be necessary if there's a conversation with their doctor or psychiatrist. But we really encourage first, you know, getting support, going to talk to someone about what's going on, and oftentimes processing through it may be enough.
Now, before the show started, we were kind of talking about what your role is. You play a big role at VITAS, and we love VITAS. They are a sponsor of the show, but we work really closely with them at Villa Las Palmas, and I think they're just great for, you know, end of life kind of care. Really, a company that focuses on the family and getting everybody involved and making it feel as special as possible. But with your role personally within the company, do you see a lot of this firsthand because you go out into the community?
Yeah.
And so how does that work?
Yeah. So my title at VITAS is I'm the bereavement services manager. So I'm in charge of running that department, making sure that we are, I'll first backtrack. All hospices are required to provide bereavement to their families as well as the community. Mm-hmm. It is a condition of participation with Medicare. VITAS, the way we do that, we do it through mailings to family members. So after one of our patients die, usually the primary caregiver and whoever else is interested in receiving those mailings will get mailings for up to a year about education about grief, supportive resources, ways to contact me if they want individual counseling. So I kind of supervise the actions of the chaplains and our social workers in terms of their bereavement follow-up care. And I do some of that myself. So I am in the field a good portion of the time providing bereavement counseling, doing support groups. We have large-scale events we offer throughout the community. We just did a huge Dia de los Muertos with Greenwood Mortuary last weekend. We had about 400 people turn out.
Oh, wow.
So we do a lot of fun things like that. So we keep it fun interaction, things that help people connect back with their community, but also things where we give people an opportunity and a safe space to process their grief, because it's just as much an important piece as anything is managing those feelings and learning how to continue on and find joy again.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the grieving process is a normal process. And, you know, Kubler-Ross describes like five stages of grief. So the question comes up is, you know, when does it become abnormal? I mean, when, you know, you want someone to go through the grieving, you know, the acceptance and, you know, the sadness and rebound from that. So when should you be concerned when someone's grieving more than, let's say, they should be grieving?
Yeah.
If there's such a thing.
Kubler-Ross, I want to touch on a point you brought up. Kubler-Ross created that model back in the 70s. It was very popular, and it was something everyone kind of grabbed onto, the five stages of grief. And really, when she wrote that model, it was really made for the patient who is at end of life.
Right.
So their stages of grief, not so much the families. The newer models that we look at are less task-oriented. We used to believe that it was this very clear-cut, you know, first I have acceptance, then, you know, denial, bargaining. It was very clear-cut, and then we're done, right? And we found through later research that that just isn't the case. People kind of oscillate back and forth. Strobe and Shute are the main theorists on this that we follow, where we believe that people, you know, some days, some moments they're having a bad moment, some moments they're angry, some moments they're sad, some moments they're feeling okay, I'm handling this okay. The next moment they jump back to anger. So it's more of a chaotic roller coaster effect versus clear stages. So it can be very difficult to tell where someone's at in their grief process because it can be all over the place. And everyone's so unique. You know, some people stay in the anger phase for a while. Others never get to that point. That's never an issue for them. So we tell people to embrace all those feelings. And it may go on for quite a while. I hate when people come to our bereavement groups and they've been told by someone that, you know, at the year mark, they should be okay. And if it's been a year, you know, you should be ready to move on. Well, right there, we've set someone up for failure. We told them that they have this timeline, and if they aren't better by then, something's wrong with them. When that just isn't the case, grief is much more complicated than that. It depends on the relationship you had with the person. It depends on the type of relationship. Was it a mother, father, spouse, child? Depends on who you are as a person, your past life experiences, what your coping skills are. Oftentimes when people are grieving, they've exhausted all their normal coping skills. They've got to learn a whole new set to be able to get through this. So there isn't a real time frame. We do hope, you know, typically the acute grieving phase is about 6 months, where it's extremely intense for a lot of people. But for some people, it can take a couple years before they feel like they're really back in their normal routine again. We encourage people, of course, you know, life does have to go on. People have to work. People have families. We try to get people back to the point where they can take care of themselves. They can function. They're healthy. They're maintaining their schedule and doing what they need to do. But also taking time each day or when they need to continue to process those feelings, because it doesn't just go away overnight.
Yeah. And it's okay to be sad, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We always think we have to be cheery and happy and everything's okay when that's just not life. Things happen and we just got to manage it as it comes.
I know we've got a couple segments to go. So in the next segment, yeah. I definitely want to talk about, you know, what a person can do for themselves. But one of my big questions would be, you know, with things over the holidays, obviously you're reminded of loss of somebody. And I guess, is it better to kind of get rid of some of those reminders, or do you want them to be fully in the moment and feeling the, this sounds so bad, but
good
like
question.
Feeling
that
pain?
That's a good question. Yeah. We encourage people to sit with the feelings as they come. And so that means, you know, a lot of times in our culture, we think that bringing up, we have someone that's grieving. For example, I had a neighbor who lost a child. And a lot of the neighbors were really nervous to approach this person and talk about the loss and say, hey, I'm thinking of you. Or, you know, we just thought if we don't talk about it, we're not going to upset them. It'll just go away. Mm-hmm. But that isn't the case. It's always there for someone who's grieving. And so rather than push it away and hide it, and not talk about it, bringing it up, incorporating that person who's died back into the holiday tradition.
Wow.
Of course, it's
going to
be different. You know, maybe that means for you lighting a candle all day on your holiday and, you know, in remembrance of that person. In my experience, we were just talking to my family about some new traditions. So it's important to incorporate those.
And that's a perfect place to stop. So let's, mm-hmm. we'll hit up our next segment and talking about some of those new traditions. Maybe
Great.
You've got some good ideas on. So audience out there, stay right with us and we'll be back.
When it comes to treatment of heart disease, there are many choices, but there's no better choice than Alvarado Hospital, right here, close to home. I'm Dr. Mike Michalski, a cardiologist with Alvarado Hospital. I am proud that our specialists bring a level of knowledge, skill, and technology that have greatly improved the lives of those in our community for the past 40 years. For more information about our cardiovascular and stroke services, please visit alvaradohospital.com or call 1-800-ALVARADO.
Alvarado is proud to be part of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
The hospital is a place for healing, but what if you're not ready to go home? If your doctor's recommending skilled nursing for extended care, Villa Las Palmas is your next step. From subacute needs to physical and occupational therapy, we handle the highest level of care outside the hospital. With our around-the-clock doctor coverage, you know you're getting the best care possible with a plan to get you stable and back home. Ask your doctor about Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center and let us help you get back to health. For more information, please visit our website, villalaspalmascares.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder. And our special guest today is Lydia Lombardi from Vitas Hospice. So today we're talking about actually kind of bereavement, some grief over the holidays. Obviously, it's very natural, as we've been talking about, to experience grief after the loss of somebody. But the holidays make it just kind of a little extra difficult. So, Lydia, at the end of the last segment, we were talking about you know, if it's better to get rid of some of those reminders around the holidays or to, you know, kind of bring it to the forefront, talk about it. And I think you had said it was better to kind of talk about it, but also to maybe incorporate some new traditions. So what exactly did you mean by that?
Yeah. First and foremost, it's important to have a plan A and a plan B for the holidays. Any anniversary or holiday, you don't want it just to creep up on you and happen. You want to kind of have an idea of what you're going to do, because we know that those traditionally are going to be difficult days. Mm-hmm. So incorporating your family in that conversation, family and friends, whoever you're going to be around, you know, what do we want to do? What's most important to us to incorporate, you know, our loved one back in the picture here? Mm-hmm. In my family, my dad died about a year and a half ago. We light a candle on the day of an anniversary or the day of, you know, a holiday event, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Another thing we were talking about this year is starting to give a monetary donation to a charity in
nice.
His honor. Something where it felt like we could give back. It gave us a sense of peace, a sense mm-hmm. of purpose. because a lot of loss doesn't make sense, and we try to make sense of it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And rather than doing that, I think it's really healthy to channel our energy into something positive to help ease some of that.
Now, would you say that, I'm sure you experience people from all walks of life, but would you say that somebody with a religious background copes a little bit differently than somebody without that?
Sure. I think spirituality is important if that's a part of your life. Mm-hmm. It's not for everyone, and that's okay. You know, there's a lot of different tools that you can utilize. But spirituality is a wonderful thing. If you have a spiritual community, tapping back into that. A lot of what we do in the bereavement counseling we do at VITAS is really encouraging. You know, we give education about grief symptoms, what's normal, what's to watch out for. We support and validate people's experience. And we also try to link them back with their normal resources and their community that they were already involved in. Because when we're grieving, sometimes we feel like we're the only one. Mm-hmm. We feel we can't relate to people at that time, maybe really detached. But it's so important to go back to those connections and those supports in your life, whether it's your spiritual church community, your family, close friends, versus isolating from that.
Okay. I would kind of think that you'd probably wouldn't, I mean, and I haven't lost somebody extremely close to me, but if I were to go back into an environment where a lot of people know me, that they would kind of bombard you and say, are you okay? So it would probably feel more comfortable to go somewhere where no one will know you, but you're discouraging that.
It depends. It depends mm-hmm. what's right for you. I think, for a period of time, this is a common question people have when they come to our bereavement groups, is they feel so uncomfortable coming into social situations, especially, for example, people who've lost a spouse, for example. Part of the spiritual experience of a loss is finding a new identity. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been married for 30 years, and now my spouse is gone, and now I'm a widow. And what is that? What does that mean? People look at me differently now. They don't know what to say to me. They're expecting me to be better and I'm not. And so it can be very uncomfortable jumping back into those situations again where you used to be a couple and now you're not. But everybody's different. For some people, that's not an issue. For some people, it is.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, and just to be okay with that.
Well, for our audience, if someone in our listening area is going through a grieving period right now, can you give us like 3 or 4 tips that, you know, they could do to make it a better, more positive a healthier process, if that's the right word.
Absolutely. Number one is be good to yourself. We are our worst critics, and we put so much pressure on ourselves to get better fast. And if we're not better to this point, you know, we give ourselves these timelines, like I said, God, it's been a month. Why aren't I happy again? Well, gosh, it's been a month, you know, or even out of your point, gosh, it's just been a year.
Right.
It can take that long to cycle through all those seasons and all those times of year where you don't have that person anymore, learning to adjust to that. So being gentle with yourself, lowering your expectations. Number two is surrounding yourselves with supportive, caring people. There are a lot of people out there that will say very hurtful things, sometimes very well-intentioned people, but there's insensitive comments they'll make. You know, I've heard some horrible things.
Sometimes people just don't think.
They don't. You know, they say, well, it was God's will. You know, he died, but it was God's will. You know, not a sensitive thing, not what people want to hear. To them, no, it wasn't God's will. Or they'll say, well, you know, they're in a better place.
Right.
You know, and some people would say, actually, no, a better place would have been here with me. You know, that
right.
Instead of saying those things, it would be better to say things like, you know, I'm here for you. How can I support you? But people don't always know how to say that. So being gentle with yourself, being around supportive people, having a plan for the holidays. Also taking care of yourself. I know when we're grieving, it's hard to sometimes eat well because maybe there's a loss of appetite or there's an increased appetite. Maybe you're not back in your exercise routine or any kind of routine at all, but trying to find time each day to do some kind of self-care. Drinking water, it sounds like a silly thing, but you're crying a lot. You're not taking as good a care. It's easy to be dehydrated. This exacerbates a lot of other conditions. This can exacerbate depression. So taking basic care of yourself is so important. Insomnia is huge with grief as well, and I always encourage people to go talk to their doctor. If it's becoming such a problem, you know, maybe a conversation with your doctor about some kind of sleep aid may be appropriate, because when we stop sleeping, then again, more problems occur too.
Sleeping is a healing cycle
right.
of the body during the day, so
correct.
Very important to get that sleep.
Yeah.
What about exercise? Does that play any role
exercise
in recovery?
Exercise is huge. Now, again, it might be hard to want to get out to the gym. We don't want to push yourselves beyond what you feel like you can do. But taking a 10-minute walk each day just to release endorphins and get outside is really healthy. It's the tendency to want to curl up sometimes in bed and just stay under the covers. But if you can carve out time during your day, 5 to 10 minutes is all I'm talking about, to get out and walk would be really great.
And I think in the season, the last bit that you said, I mean, that's even something I want to do now, curl up in bed, just because there's less daylight outside and it is getting darker earlier. And, you know, I think people are not going out. I mean, granted, with the holidays and you've got the parties and things like that, they'll probably be more social. But just in general, getting home late, you know, from work and it being dark, I would assume that all kind of plays a role as well. Do you see more of this happening in the fall, the time change?
I think that's a part of it. And mm-hmm. I think in response to that, you know, when it is dark, we don't want to go outside as much. But one way that we can get social contact where we're not going to the parties that are all cheery, we may not be up for, but joining a bereavement support group. Being with people who have gone through what you've gone through, there's nothing like it. People can talk at you all day and say that they, you know, they hear you, they're supporting you, but unless you've been through it, there's nothing like getting the support of peers who've experienced something like this, which I find really helpful for a lot of people.
Got it. Now, what would you say? I was kind of doing a little bit of research online and thinking about trying to come at this from an angle if I were going through a lot of grieving, but as far as getting through the holidays, shopping, I could just imagine going through all the malls and it's just so crazy and hectic. And I guess people can look at it like maybe shopping online is a good option instead. Would you recommend that?
Sure. Again, it goes back to listening to yourself. What's mm-hmm. going to be best for you? Don't push yourself. If it's going to be too chaotic and stressful, don't do it. Grief is one of the most stressful experiences we go through as a human being. And so to add more on your plate that you don't need to do is unnecessary. I always hear people will tell me, well, I can't get my Christmas cards out. I always get my Christmas cards out by this date. People are going to be so mad at me and la, 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 la. You know, and I tell them, stop. If they're true family and true friends that care about you, they're not going to judge you. They're not going to expect things of this of you. You need to take care of yourself as the priority and stop worrying about everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get the holiday cards out, you can't do the shopping, you can't do it this year.
Right. And I guess it would be important to not let others kind of guilt you into things as well, right? One of the things I was seeing online was to kind of set boundaries and let others know, you know, I'm not going to be able to make that party this time, or because there's got to be people out there saying exactly what you were saying earlier. Like, it's, you know, it's time to get over it. You're fine. You're okay. But only you would really know if that's something you're up for. Mm-hmm. Would you say that that's probably the best advice to
absolutely
listen to
yourself. I hear every day people who've lost a spouse, that the next month they have friends saying, hey, I want to hook you up with my friend. You know, you got to get married again. I know this person. And they're like, whoa, you know, I'm not there. It's been only so long. So really standing up for yourself and being able to set that boundary. And if people continue, if you find certain people in your life continue with this and don't respect where you're at, to start shifting away from those people for a while, because that's not what you need in your life. You need supportive, caring people that are ready to stay with you where you're at.
Mm. What should the families be doing for loved ones that are in bereavement? Should they let them be alone and grieve, or should they get them out and get them, you know, I mean, is there a right or a wrong thing for the family to be doing for, another family member?
I think it's hard for families because they want to get them out. There's this tendency to feel like, well, if we get them out, they'll be better, they'll be happier.
Right, yeah.
And sometimes that works, but also listening and respecting where the person is. Invite them out, include them, absolutely, that's important. But if they tell you no, be okay with that.
Okay.
And don't take it personally. Recognize that that's just not something they're ready to do. And give them an option. What would be supportive to you? What can I do that would be helpful to you that I can offer? Because I want to support you. I care about you.
About a year and a half ago, my grandma actually passed away, and her whole family was very, surrounding my papa and trying to help and trying to keep things as calm as possible. And I know at one point my mom and my aunt were kind of concerned about Christmas because that was our big holiday, but they wanted to pull it over to one of their houses because it just made more sense for them cooking. But ultimately they decided not to and just wanted to keep it at my grandparents' house because it had kept tradition. And that seemed to work. But would you say
that's probably the best idea to just stay there? Or is it okay to change a few? I know we were talking about changing traditions a little bit earlier, but is that kind of too soon to do something like that?
Again, asking the person, asking the person who's grieving or talk with the family, make it a family decision. Hey, what do you guys think is the best idea this year? What's everyone okay with? I had a woman who lost her spouse a couple years ago, and she said, we didn't want to get the tree up this year. I just couldn't do it. But the next year, she was ready to do it.
Wow.
And she said, instead of her doing it, because her and her husband used to put it up together, her son now takes on that role, and he puts the lights up, and he's taken on that new tradition as his job.
Great. Well, let's break here, and we'll be back for our last segment in a couple minutes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, stay right with us.
When Joe was in his last days, I was frightened of not having the right help at the right moment. So I set out to find a hospice I could call at any time, day or night. Only VITAS provided telecare, the 24-hour access we needed.
Mom's illness was overwhelming toward the end, and I wanted a hospice that had everything and everyone we needed. We discovered only VITAS employs more physicians who specialize in hospice care than anyone nationally. That made Mom and us feel better.
When Carol was dying, I promised she could stay at home and have the very best care. I did my research. Only VITAS had the experience to take care of the love of my life.
Call VITAS Innovative Hospice Care toll-free at 877-647-1124 for a free hospice evaluation. That's 877-647-1124. Or visit VITAS.com for more information.
Transition is always difficult, especially after surgery. At Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center, we make sure it's as efficient as possible. As one of the highest-rated Medicare facilities in San Diego, we offer a variety of services to meet your needs. From subacute care to general physical therapy, we'll help create a plan to get you back to where you want to be. If your doctor recommends skilled nursing as your next step, come visit us and see how our skilled care has what you need to get back on your feet. For more information, please visit our website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder. And our special guest today is Lydia Lombardi from VITAS Hospice, actually a bereavement counselor over there, right? This is a great show, especially coming towards the holidays. Loss can be sad for so many people, but getting through the holidays just seems to make it a little bit harder sometimes. So, Lydia, we were talking about on the last segment, how somebody is feeling when they're going through loss. And I would assume one of the big questions you would get is, how do I control these feelings that I'm experiencing? Because some people are saying they're natural. Well, they are natural, but then people put timelines on them. And so how do you help with that? Or how do you deal with that, I guess?
I think the hardest thing about grief is how unpredictable it is, the feelings that come up. We talk a lot about triggers. I'll be going in the grocery store, someone will say, and I see that cereal that my husband always used to eat, and that just automatically triggers the waterworks.
Oh,
I start crying.
I would probably lose it there too.
Yeah, it's the little things that we don't think are going to be triggers, but that cause it at moments that are often feel very inappropriate or uncomfortable. Going back to work, incredibly difficult for people. I know, especially with my experience as well, going back, trying to help other people after I've had a major loss, it would very much be uncomfortable. I fortunately was in a supportive environment where people understood. Mm-hmm. But when you have those moments where you're welling up and you're going to lose control and cry, this is often why people sometimes isolate, because they're nervous about getting in those situations. Mm-hmm. So,
but it's probably good actually to get back on the saddle and go back to work too, though, wouldn't you say?
It is. It is definitely, to get back into
routines. But surely, like, would you creep into that and maybe not do it all at one time? Or
it's tough because a lot of people only get 2 or 3 days bereavement that they're allotted with their work. So it is tricky. It puts a lot of,
even for a spouse,
artificial pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we encourage people to take breaks. Again, lower your expectations, maintain a reasonable stress load when you can. That means don't put extra responsibilities on yourself you're not going to be able to handle while you're dealing with this. It's tough. The feelings come up when they come up. What's important is sometimes you do have to compartmentalize, obviously, because you're at work, you're sitting with a client, and you feel like you're going to start crying, and this isn't the time to do it, so you kind of have to push it down. But don't let it go. At the end of your day, find time where you can let that out. Grief is like, It's like a pressure cooker. You know, if you keep stuffing it and stuffing it and stuffing it, eventually the top's going to blow off. Mm. It can't contain all that. But if you slowly let it seep out, like, you know, let the steam out a little bit every day, you'll find you're better able to maintain it and better able to get through your day. And know that maybe at the end of your day, you have a special time set aside where you drink your tea, you sit in your special chair, you look through photos, and you get it out. That's a real helpful way for people to get through those symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Are people, do you get the question, you know, will my grief ever fully go away?
Absolutely. I think the biggest fear with people when they're grieving is that they're never going to feel good again. How can I possibly be happy after, you know, my loved ones died? My life's never going to be the same. It's hard to find hope again sometimes. But remembering that it does get better and it can get better. There's also sometimes a lot of guilt around feeling good. I had a woman the other day who had said, you know, I started laughing with my kids the other day about something funny, and then I started feeling immediately guilty because she was a week out after her husband's death, and she said, I caught myself and I thought, I shouldn't be happy. I should be sad right now. This isn't right. And that's not right. Your feelings are the way you feel in that moment, and that's okay. It doesn't mean you're happy that someone died, but when you have those moments of joy, embrace them. Sit with that feeling. Laugh. It's good for you because you're not always going to feel like that during this process. Mm-hmm. You will feel happy again, too. It is important to take steps to take care of yourself, and this is why self-care is so essential, meaning getting to a counselor, bereavement counselor, talking with family or friends, joining a support group, being active again. Some people say it's really hard to get back in the community and do events because I'm forgetful. Forgetfulness is a huge symptom, very common with grief. People mm-hmm. feel very disorganized. They feel not at all like themselves. So, again, being compassionate with yourself, recognize you're going through a lot. Join a group and put it on your calendar and make sure you're checking your calendar each day. You may have to be extra, extra organized while you're grieving because your mind isn't working the way it used to. You're not yourself, so take that into account.
Mm. As you're mentioning self-care there, like eating healthy and going to the gym or maintaining some sort of exercise. I know, Dr. Ember, you probably can touch more on this, but happier people are healthier as well. When I say happier, I don't mean, you know, jumping up and down, crazy mm-hmm. joy, but obviously I think there have been links to kind of depression and heart disease. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, there have been studies of patients with cancer. Ones that have a more positive outlook are known to have a longer survival and do better. Mm-hmm. People, you know, like you pointed out with heart disease that have a more positive attitude tend to do better. So, you don't want to be down. Yeah, I mean, if you're sad, you're sad. But, if you can work through and live in the moment and, enjoy and embrace, the positive and happy times in your life, that's going to be helpful.
Right. Mm-hmm. And making your expectations of yourself reasonable, that I'm going through a tough time right now. You know, I don't need to be happy tomorrow, but don't put this extra guilt on yourself and pressure, because that's what also leads to depression and leads to feelings of hopelessness, because you're fighting an impossible fight here. You're telling yourself you got to be better by a certain time when that's not possible. Then we lower the self-esteem. We start thinking worse things in our heads versus just accepting what's happened and go at an even pace. And again, trying to find the balance again in your life as best you can, by incorporating positive things, incorporating the support of good people in your life, family, friends that want to sit with you through this and not pressure you.
What is the mindfulness that you were talking about?
Mindfulness has been studied quite extensively, and it's something we use with our bereavement clients and as well as in our groups, is helping people sit in the moment. A lot of times our depression is from thoughts of the past and our anxiety is about thoughts of the future and what's going to happen next.
That would make sense, yeah.
And so if we can get people, even just for a moment, to sit and sit with themselves non-judgmentally, sitting with what is, recognizing I'm alive, I'm healthy, I feel good, I'm here, this is how my body feels, this is the texture of this chair, just what's happening in the moment, it can calm our mind down, it can make us healthier long-term, and it can help manage and take, it can help mitigate the grief a bit in that it can give you a break from it. We incorporate this in my support groups. After each group, we do a bit of mindfulness and a little meditation, something to help people just relax their mind and take a break. So it's an excellent technique I recommend for everybody.
Mm. You mentioned meditation. Would you recommend yoga and those types of things for somebody going through grief?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even if it's chair yoga. In our office, we do staff support events on a quarterly basis, and we offer a mindfulness meditation room, and we do chair yoga for staff as well. Even if you aren't very mobile, there's simple stretches and poses that you can sustain while sitting that help open you up, that help make you feel more limber, that stretch you, that make you feel at more at peace and calmer, which is a really healthy piece to incorporate in terms of your self-care.
What about like joy? When is it okay to let joy back into your life when you're going through this grieving process?
I think as soon as it starts coming in, embrace it. Again, that guilt piece is something everybody, I find a lot of people who are grieving deal with. But recognizing too that sometimes we think joy is, you know, I'm going to be happy, everything's going to be perfect again. It's this, you know, hopping, skipping around and giggling. And it's not so much about that. Joy can be found in the smallest things in our lives. And I think we need to pay attention to those small things more often versus having these expectations that we're supposed to have this big event and everything's going to be better. It's more about appreciating small things in the moment. Little improvements, too. I hear a lot of people say, gosh, it's been 6-7 months and my grief hasn't improved one bit. And I say, really? You just told me last week you're no longer crying in the car every day when you go to work. That's a pretty big improvement. You know, but people forget. We say, well, that's little. That's no big deal. I mean, I should just be totally happy. But no, that's a big step. Recognize that. Acknowledge it. You know, and recognize that you are doing better.
Mm-hmm. I would think that it would be with this time of year coming around as well, it would be, I don't want to say easier for somebody to recognize little improvements, but I can think, you know, I've got ornaments in my house that are, reminiscent of my grandma, or that would be reminiscent of, my husband. I mean, granted, he's still around, but heaven forbid you lose a spouse, that would be really hard. And you probably over time are either looking at that and thinking, this ornament reminds me of him, so I'm going to put it on the tree, versus this ornament reminds me of him, I can't put it on the tree this year, kind of thing. So just kind of understanding where you are and maybe... Right.
You can't put the tree up this year, you don't want to look at those old ornaments, start making new ones. I had a woman who said, we started making all new ornaments every year. We'd make a new one in memory of someone in our life
or
just for that year. We made a 2012 ornament or whatever it may be. So it's a new start. If those memories are too painful, let's start with some new things and add new things into the holiday tradition.
So I know my father always liked this special bottle of wine, and on the once a year, we always break open a bottle of wine and kind of celebrate his life and, kind of bring it into a positive aspect for the whole family. It's always a, very enriching experience.
Yeah. You're honoring him and you're honoring
and we're remembering him and, it's quite helpful.
Always bringing it back to wine, aren't you, Dr. Ember?
and shoes. He has a special pair of shoes.
I know.
We put on.
Well, this has been some great information. I really appreciate you being here today. So, and, for our audience members out there, it's kind of a shame because I know VITAS just this last week had a few sessions that the public could attend, correct?
Yes, grieving. We just did a few holiday workshops, and we have them annually. They're two-hour workshops. Myself and an art therapist co-facilitate at different locations around the county. And there's several that are still going on throughout the county that I encourage you to attend if you're interested.
And for families that are going through grieving, groups like VITAS Hospice, they're, professional help, they can help you with the process.
And absolutely. Is there somewhere you can point them, a website or
your
contact information?
Our San Diego website, VITASSanDiego.com, has a calendar on there of all of our different support groups and events. Everything's free and open to the community.
Great.
So if you'd like to come, we encourage you to come out or give me a call.
Awesome.
Thanks for being on the show
you.
And
thank
sharing.
You so
and Dr.
Emder,
how can people get a hold of you?
DrLarryEmder.com on the web or hashtag DrLarryEmder. If you want to see me.
Dr. Emder just got on Instagram.
And a picture of us will be on my Instagram account for the week.
Awesome. Absolutely. And we also have a Facebook page. So for those of you who would like to ask us any questions, feel free to jump on there. Aging Redefined Radio. You can ask us any questions. All of our information will be up there as well. And if you do have questions you'd like to have a show broadcast about or just answered on the air, let us know. We'll be happy to help you out there. So thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone.